Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, don't forget every college football coverage. College football coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light and Tanners are teaming up to make every college game day legendary. Every Saturday, rep your college team, catch every play, and enjoy $15 buckets only at Kansas area Tanner locations. Bud Light and Tanners, from the stands to the bar, your game day headquarters. I love it when you call me Big Papa. Put your hands in the air if you're a true player. We'd be joined by Sean Smith right now. Big Daddy Sean, how you doing on this Friday morning?
Man, I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Listening to you guys is funny, you know, with you guys talking about trap game and the young jock and all that on there. You know, you guys are funny.
I said it's not. So hear me out. Because you played, you hear all this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, BS before. If this team was 2-0 going into New York with Baltimore on the other side, all these pessimistic people would say, this seems like a trap game. They're 0-2, not worried about Baltimore right now because they're worried about their damn selves. So the trap game is irrelevant. This is a must-win game, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, every game from around now is a must-win game. I mean, we haven't been, 0-2, start 0-2 since, 2014, something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, like you guys were saying earlier, the run game, but I think in order for the Chiefs to win, the offensive line and defensive line have to play better, hands down. It's not just the running back, Pacheco and Hunt. It's just the offensive line play. And the Giants suck. The coaching staff, what's my man, Dabo, he's on a hot seat. So if we win, don't be surprised if he gets fired. You know what I mean? Just because he's on a hot seat and what's going on. And as far as the Chiefs, I'm not in panic mode yet because we lost the first game. We took a long trip to go play a division game against a team that we normally beat, and we lost by, 6 or 7? Mm-hmm. We didn't play well. We lost again this past week because we didn't run the ball and, you know, just not doing what we're supposed to do. We've been beating ourselves. So I think we'll get back on track this week. We're running the ball, the defense stopping the run, we get up early, and as you say, get sacked. But the concern I'm really concerned about is the Giants do have a good defensive line. Everybody's not talking about it, but you got Burns and the kid Thadabo, whatever. They both are up there in sacks, and they get pressure on the quarterback. So it's going to be real interesting.
Well, we have talked about that defensive line, but don't you neutralize that, Sean, with running the football? And we've talked about the running game. Like, doesn't that help you neutralize and take their strength out if you're able to run it?
Yeah, and we also got to be able to run screens, though. But, you know, when we have all the penalties with the false start, holding, legal man downfield, illegal procedure. We're beating ourselves. It's not like the other team is really doing something drastically out there to stop us. We're just beating ourselves.
Sean, you obviously really familiar with the defensive line, and one of the guys that I kind of put a little bit of pressure on this week, because we had Mitch Holtis on earlier talking about this should be a 4-5 sack game against Russell Wilson. What are you noticing from like Karloftis? Like, why isn't he able to get home? I know it's only 2 weeks. He's shown in the past he can get to the quarterback, but what have you watched? Because you mentioned the defensive line needs to be better. What do you see that needs to be better?
I think he needs to get off the ball a little bit better, and I think he's thinking too much, and I think he's starting to feel the pressure. You know, being a top pick like that and the pressure you're getting into it with the franchise player, Chris Jones, it's kind of weird because now it's like, what have you done for us lately? And we need production. And even with Aminahu, we need production. We got all these guys, we need production. There's enough talk. We do too much talking. We need to put up or shut up. That's just where I'm at with it right now.
Yeah, you watched that game against Philadelphia last week. They blitzed 19 times, or as Coach Boone would say, they blitzed all night. I don't think he was the one that said that, but you know, the Remember the Titans. Do you want to see you want to see more of that, like more of the blitzing scheme, especially against a guy like Russell Wilson who can tend to put his head down the minute he sniffs pressure?
Yes. I mean, I just feel like I know you guys are saying, I think Bob said it earlier, you know, we got to win on first down. First down is the most important down because if we offensively, yeah, you want to get ahead on the sticks. Defensively, you want to win first down and get them behind the sticks. So we put pressure, you blitz automatically and bring some pressure from the beginning of the game. Guess what? That looks like if you bring it in the beginning of the game, we put in pressure and we're able to dictate the game more.
Yeah, and but don't we need to get more pressure, though, just from that front four, like Chris Jones?
We need pressure from Chris Jones. I need Bolton to step up. I just need the whole defense to step up and play in. You know, we also used to playing with a lead, you know.
Right.
We normally up 14-0, so guess what? We're pass rushing. Now we're not up and we're in tight games. Now you get to see what this team is really made of.
Well, and that's where I am too, Sean. I mean, as we talk with Sean Smith, like, you know, it's easy to lead and be a leader when you're winning and everything's great. This is where really leadership really shows. This to me is a game that's on the hands of Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Chris Jones. Like, those are your four leaders. They need to be the ones that lead this team to victory.
Yes, they do. And, you know, we haven't talked about lately either, though, special teams. We need to get something going in the return game.
What do you think you see from Xavier Worthy in this game, coming off the labrum injury 1 week after it happened and playing in this game, most likely to play? Like, what do you want to see from his production with that speed on the field?
Just get him the ball, whether we use it like how you should use Tyreek Hill, Jet Sweep. We have to get the ball in our playmaker's hands.
Right. Yeah, and I think the game plan needs to be geared around Xavier Worthy because he presents something, in my opinion anyway, that's different than what everybody else has, and that's that speed. I think he can blaze by people before folks even really realize he's blazing by them.
Yes, when he's in gear five, they're still in gear one.
What is your opinion of Russell Wilson?
Sierra runs his life. I wish I was playing this week because I would give him hell. I mean, I think Russell Wilson's a great stand-up guy, a company guy, as they say, company man. Mm-hmm. He's a great company man, but I don't trust him. Look at everywhere he's gone. Everybody doesn't like him no more when he leaves. He had to have a special office in Denver. Like, who are you? You're not a coach. You're a player.
Yeah. You think
you know what I mean? It's just everybody. Then the receiver that was with him in Seattle, Baldwin. I see them talking about him on Marshawn Lynch and Mike Robinson podcast talking about Russell. I'm like, and these are legit guys. If Marshawn Lynch played with you and he didn't have your phone number and you're the quarterback, come on.
That's a problem. That's one of the more stunning things to me that I've ever seen, you know, in this job, Sean. And I've been doing this thing for, you know, 25 years now. To have another teammate say that he doesn't have his other teammate's phone number, that tells me that guy sucks, man. I don't want him as my teammate.
He's not even a leader. I mean, I put it to you like this. When I played for the Chiefs, I wasn't cool with Matt Castle like that, but I had Matt Castle's phone number.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
If I wanted to call him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just that just shows what kind of leadership he is. I think Russell does everything for a front. He's a fraud to me. You know, he does everything. I feel like you guys said earlier, when you meet a woman changes you. I guess Sierra changed him tremendously. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not the Russell Wilson, not everybody thinks he is.
What do you mean you and Matt Castle weren't cool? Like, did you guys beef?
Nah, we wasn't beef. You know me.
Yeah.
I tell the offense, and I used to tell Charlie, too, run the damn ball. The offense sucks. You put us in the – we just was on the field for 10-play drive. You can't go out there and go three and out and go three passes straight in a row. Come on now.
Right.
No, this is a break. It's called game management.
Yeah. Yo, you're
saying we have to do better.
But it plays into this team, too, because I've seen a lot of times where the defense has a long drive. They get out and they have a three and out. The defense is right back out there on the field.
And guess what? I'll be yelling at Nagy, even though I'm playing. Hey, man, call something else. Kill the clock. Something. Game plan sucks or something, because you spend all them hours in the building. You got to be able to make adjustments. Like, yeah, we saying the Giants suck. Yeah, they're 0-2 just like us, so we can't call nobody suck. We're trash right now.
Yeah, I hope to God when you're yelling at that TV, you got that robe on and nothing else on.
My girlfriend gets mad at me when I wear my robe out in public. She won't go nowhere with me. She gets mad at me about my robe, but everybody loves the Robe Chronicles.
No doubt.
So I watch the game in peace. I have me a cigar, I have me a drink, and I watch it, but I get frustrated sometimes because sometimes the play calling, the missed tackling, the stupid penalties we be having, it's just like, I don't even understand. And just as we talked about my girlfriend, she walked by with a Chiefs blanket. That must mean we're gonna win this week.
I can't figure out a way to do it any better than that. Like you said, women will change you, man. They make you put jeans on and a t-shirt when you go out in public now.
Yeah, hey, she does not like, whatever I said, we're gonna put the robe on. She just give me that look, that I look that, you know you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't even do it. I go to the gas station late at night to go in my robe, and she's like, where you going? I'm going to the gas station.
All right, Sean, give us a prediction score-wise in this game against the Giants on Sunday night.
Prediction. The prediction I got is, I'm going to go with this, 35-14. I think we get back on track with the run game and everything and score some points.
What's on the menu for the weekend?
I don't know yet. I gotta see what's going on. It depends on what we do tonight. My football team, we play tonight.
Who you got?
We won last week.
There we go.
We had a nice thing, so hopefully we can get to 3-1 tonight. And then if that's the case, I might just go barbecue on Sunday.
Just roll through Taco Cabana, dude, and get all the good Mexican food.
That sounds good too. But we got this place called Crush Taco out here in Frisco, and it's real nice.
What's it called? Crush Taco?
Yes, Crush Taco.
Oh, Fresh Taco. Okay.
Gotcha.
Crush Taco.
I have to get that cigar and drink and put a little extra something in that cigar, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, you already know. I just didn't want to say that. You guys know me. You guys know the deep freeze is going to have the good green. You know what I mean? The good green.
That kale, baby.
See you in the garage, buddy. Sean.
All right, Sean, we'll talk to you next Friday, man. We appreciate it. Take it easy.
All right, you guys have a great one.
I can't think of any other way to do that other than coming up next. It's the Roundtable with Matt McMullen here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Leo Chanel, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Back at it here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs. They got a big one this weekend in New York against the Giants, and it is time to talk to our guy. Can you put the phone line on for me here? Our guy, Matt McMullen of the Chiefs.com. Matt McMullen. I don't say Matt McMullen. I'm thinking of our friend, what's his name out in L.A., right? The Kansas Lottery, brought to you by Get in the Game with Chiefs Kingdom Scratch Tickets, only available from the Kansas Lottery. Top prize is $75,000 plus. Enter drawings for a chance to win Chiefs experiences. See kslottery.com. Matt McMullen of Chiefs.com is at West Point with Mitch Holtis. Is Mitch behaving first and foremost up there at West Point?
What's up, guys? I am looking at the most beautiful view ever right now.
It is.
The Hudson River. It's 70 degrees out here. I'm overlooking a big field where there's cadets marching. I mean, this is unbelievable. Mitch is like a little kid at Disneyland today. He's just beaming. But this has been super cool. He's been talking about doing this for months and months, and it's pretty cool that we're actually here.
Is it your first time up there?
Yeah, West Point. Yeah. It is, yeah. And, I mean, to come out here a few days early and to have this opportunity. I mean, so Mitch, you know Mitch. He's connected with everyone.
Yep.
We're getting like a first-class tour of this place, going places that normally people can't go. It's been incredible.
Yeah, there's nothing better for my money than a football game up there on a fall afternoon, man. You're getting the setting right now. Picture that stadium full on the Hudson River. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place. And so take advantage of every opportunity that you get to enjoy that, man. It really is truly special. Let's talk about the game. Big one, obviously, in New York. We're coordinating it a must win game. What's your feel, Matt, going into this one?
Yeah, I feel good. You know, Patrick Mahomes has never lost three games in a row, so I feel good about that. The resolve and the resiliency in the building all week has been phenomenal. And, you know, we've never started 0-2 before with Patrick Mahomes. We all know that. But this reminds me a lot of 2021 when we started 1-2 and then 3-4. But then no one really talks about that tough start because we won 12 games that year and hosted the AFC Championship game. We've also seen in recent years, in the middle of the season, this team show great resolve. Think about 2023. We were 9-6 at one point, losing tough games to the Bills, to the Packers, won the Super Bowl that year. So this team has great resolve. The leaders on this team have been through this kind of thing before, even if it's not exactly an 0-2 start. And everyone's focused on just getting a win here this weekend and getting back on track.
You said resolve in the building. I want you to elaborate more on that. What was it like inside the facility this week?
I would say focused. And, you know, I think with a lot of teams that start 0-2, they might panic. They might be pointing fingers. But with the Chiefs, there's none of that. And that's one of the reasons the Chiefs have been so successful over the years, right, is when you go through these kind of flashpoints, like Mitch calls them, no one panics or points fingers at one another. It's all about how can we come together and be better because of this. And I do think that the Chiefs will be better in the long run because of the start. And I think about, you know, the chapters of the Chiefs dynasty over the years. Think about the things they've overcome. I'm kind of excited about this at this point, that we can hopefully look back on this part of the season 3 or 4 months from now and say, can you believe this team started 0-2 and still found a way to accomplish all their goals? And I think that's what they're thinking about in the building, is all their goals are still right there. It's a long season, a lot of football left to play, but it is a matter of getting back on track, and that has to begin here on Sunday.
Matt, when you look at this game, and obviously we did the numbers earlier, and Mitch told us as well, 32nd, that's where the Giants rank in rushing yards, allowing 177.5 in 2 weeks straight. Bigger opportunity here for Pacheco or Bashard Smith?
Well, I think Pacheco has an opportunity to have a big day here in this game. And just 2 years ago against the Jets at MetLife, he had that big 50-yard run against New York, and I'd love a few of those here in this game. I'm sure Mitch talked about it, but the Chiefs are 17th in the NFL in rushing right now, and over half of that is from Patrick Mahomes. That's not exactly the plan. You know, Patrick's great at scrambling, but I'm sure we'd like to have some production from the running back position. And, yeah, I mean, these guys are giving up 177 yards per game on the ground. And it's not just from last week. I know it's easy when you look at week two stats, like was it all just last week in that crazy game against the Cowboys? These guys gave up 220 rushing yards to the Commanders in week one. So there's an opportunity to run the ball here in this game. And really, if you look at the strength of the Giants' defense, it's obviously their defensive front with guys like Thibodeau and Burns, Abdul Carter, Dexter Lawrence. Well, the best way to mitigate a really good pass rush is to run the football. Mm-hmm. And these guys have struggled against the run this year. So that's what I'm hoping for here in this game. Establish the run early. Let's get some consistent gains out of the running back position. Then hopefully put this defense on their heels.
Will they allow the running game to get going early, Matt? Because that's always been my biggest concern, is that like they go first and 10 and we only get 2 yards and that's it on the running game and we bail out of that thing quick. Do you think this is the week where Andy and company allow the running game to get established?
I think there's an opportunity for it for sure, because of what I just said. I mean, when you have a great pass rush like this, you're not really doing yourself many favors if you're dropping back 50 times against them, because they know what's coming. So I think establishing the run early in this game should be one of the priorities. And I have no doubt that they'll do that. Just a matter of finding success with it early. And that's why I think if maybe early in the game you can get a chunk run here and there, gets the team feeling motivated and going downhill with the run game, we could see some more of it as the game goes on.
Matt, when you look at this game with Patrick Mahomes, obviously he's ran the ball a ton, leads the Chiefs in rushing 2 weeks in a row. He's 16th in the NFL in rushing yards. Not something you know ideally see this early in the season.
Is that more of a trust issue, or is that, because I know he talked the other day about it, when the zones open up, he's going to take advantage of that. But is that more of a trust issue, or is that just more of guys aren't getting open?
Well, I think it's a matter of Patrick Mahomes finding ways to make plays, even if the plays aren't there. And, you know, it's funny. He leads all quarterbacks in rushing yards right now, which is not normally what we'd see. But I think we're seeing more of what he does during the postseason, where he's running the ball and really creating backbreaking plays for the defense, where it's third and eight and he finds a way to scramble and pick up a first down. I think a lot of it this year, early on, trying to kind of find an offensive identity, particularly with Worthy and Rice both out, has been trying to fire up the team. And if he has an opportunity to scramble and pick up a first down or run a guy over like he did last week,
yeah,
which was awesome, by the way, he's going to do it because obviously it helps the team in terms of picking up yards, but also it's going to fire the team up. I don't think he necessarily wants to scramble as much as he has been, but I don't think you should ever take that away from him because it's one of the things that he's best at in the NFL. So I would suspect it's a combination of things. It's the offense trying to figure things out a little bit with some newer and younger players and roles that maybe we didn't think they'd be in early in the year. But hopefully here in this game, he's able to sit in the pocket more and find those guys downfield.
Talking with Matt McMullen of Chiefs.com. What do you expect out of X this week, man? Like Worthy, not the exposition, but Worthy.
Well, we'll find out if he's going to play. We'll hear from Coach Reed here in about 4 hours on his status for this game. You know, it's great news that he's back practicing. And in Brazil, that was a scary situation where just three snaps into the game, you lose one of your primary players and you don't know what the outlook is. I think the best news we received last week, even though he didn't play last week, was earlier in the week. Coach Reed said that at this point they're not expecting putting him on IR, not expecting surgery right now. That's great news because, I mean, I think all of us weren't quite sure what the situation was immediately after Brazil. So we'll see if he plays this week or not, but regardless, for the season-long outlook, I'm just glad that he's back at practice and healthy. And same for Jalen Royals. You know, I'm excited to see what Jalen Royals can do. Hopefully here in this game, if he's able to play, you know, he was a full participant in practice yesterday. First time since training camp, he's been a full participant in practice as he nurses that knee injury. If he can play in this game, I'm excited to see what he can do as well.
Would you like to see similar sort of tactics of the defense against Russell Wilson, where you send the guys 19 times in this game like they did against Jalen Hurts?
Well, the Chiefs are blitzing at the highest rate in the NFL right now. It's at like 45%, which even for Spags is pretty high. I would say any way you can get pressure on Wilson in this game, you have to do it. I'm sure Mitch talked about it earlier, but if you look at that Cowboys game last week for the Giants, just crazy deep ball numbers. I mean, Wilson completed seven passes of at least 25 yards in that game. Most of his career, I mean, this is Russell Wilson we're talking about, loves the deep ball, most he's ever thrown and completed in a single game. He had 450 passing yards in that game. But passing yards aren't always the same, right? It can be a five-yard pass and the receiver breaks off for 50 yards. You get 55 yards as a passer. Well, for Wilson last week, he had 316 yards at the catch point. So he was just throwing it way downfield, and Neighbors and Robinson would make these incredible catches. You can't let that happen in this game. But deep balls develop because the quarterback has time. So we got to find a way to disrupt his timing, get him on the ground, which the Chiefs have done a great job of over the years against Russell Wilson. Because the one main way the Giants scare you offensively is throwing that deep ball to their talented receivers. You can't allow those plays to develop. So got to get some pressure on him any way we can here in this game.
Matt, how do we get our offensive line playing better?
Well, running the football, I think, is the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Really, any offensive lineman will tell you running the ball early in the game is the best way to establish their dominance up front. Pass blocking is hard. And if you're pass blocking the entire game, it's difficult, again, because the defense knows what's coming. So I think running the ball early in this game and finding some success with it doesn't just move yards and get the offense going in general, but I think it fires the offensive line up and gives them confidence as well.
Matt, one more here for you. Who do you want to see from a leadership standpoint really be a focus in this game when it comes to Chris Jones, Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce? Out of those three, who do you really want to see step up? Because there's a chance Christian Fulton may not play.
Yeah, well, I'll throw one more in there. How about Trent McDuffie here in this game? Because I think, you know, facing these receivers here and the Giants of Malik Neighbors and Wandale Robinson, mm-hmm. I'm sure he's going to be covering either of those guys quite a bit here in this game. And a great opportunity, I think, for Trent to make some plays and maybe pick off Wilson when he's trying to throw one of those deep balls. Chris Jones, too, though, because the last thing Russell Wilson wants to see is Chris Jones barreling at him at 100 miles an hour when he's trying to wait for one of those deep balls to open. But really, I think this is where you lean on all of your leaders, right? Mahomes, Kelce, the whole group, because like I said, the resiliency of this team is what makes them so special. And that resiliency comes from your leaders and your guys that have been there before and dealt with tough times and still seen championships on the end of those tough times. I expect this team to come together in a big way on Sunday. And I think it's a great opportunity here on Sunday Night Football with the country watching. You know, everyone who's not a Chiefs fan loves talking about how the Chiefs are their downfall and all that. Well, this is a great chance for the Chiefs to remind everyone that we're still here. And I'm pretty fired up about it.
Yeah, you sound it. And I'm not lying about that. Like you sound like you're ready to go. And you've got me ready to strap it on and go out there and play Sunday night. Like, let's do this thing, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Hey, you know, in the preseason, they let me do a few drills. And I was catching some passes, tackling donuts. I think I did okay.
Yeah.
I think they're not going to put me out there, but at least for what I do, I'm pretty fired up.
I used to ask Vermeil to let me do that kind of stuff, and he always said no. So I'm glad that you got the opportunity to do that. Did anybody hit you going across the middle?
No one hit me, thankfully. It's not too late for you, though, Bob.
I'll do it right now.
Training camp next year, let's get you on some tackling dummies.
I'm 100% in on that. 1,000% in on that. If you tell me to show up there at 9 o'clock, I'm taking reps with the team, I will be there.
You know, when I did it, it wasn't even that hot. It was one of those cool days we had at camp. Uh-huh. But I was wearing shoulder pads and a helmet and went through just a variety of drills for like 30 minutes. Not even like the full pads, just shoulder pads and a helmet. And I was just dripping in sweat. I think for me, it gave me more appreciation for what these guys do every single day, because after about 15 minutes, I was like, I think I'll stick to the journalism road.
I'll be on the other side of the field, man. You guys go do your thing out here. I'll go sit in the air-conditioned tent and drink water.
Yeah, and just not have Coach Reed catch me leaning or anything.
No doubt.
You tell your guy Josh that, not me.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh, wearing black socks or something. Like, come on, Josh.
Yeah, exactly.
Did Josh get busted for the wrong color socks? Please tell me that happened.
So I don't know if he has, but I wouldn't be surprised, would you?
No, not at all.
But my first year, when I was my first year in 2017, I wore black socks, and I didn't hear it from him, but I heard it from someone, and I've never worn black socks to training camp.
Live and learn.
9 years since. You live and learn, that's for sure.
Well, hey, keep doing your fantastic job, Matt. We appreciate you here on the roundtable, and enjoy New York City.
I appreciate you guys. I'll do my best to bring back a win.
Yes, sir. That is the roundtable with Matt McMullen, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Get in the game with the Chiefs Kingdom Scratch ticket, only available from the Kansas Lottery. Top prize is $75,000 plus enter drawings for a chance to win Chiefs experiences. See KansasKSLottery.com.
That's funny, though, you know, with the socks and the lean, but that's what makes Andy Reid better than everybody else, right? Those are the little things, the details that you think probably don't matter, and they really, at the end of the day, they don't, but little things equal big things, and if you're making sure you have everything in order, you're going to take care of everything. That, I mean, right there's a detail as to why Andy Reid is better than everybody else out there. So if they can suit me up for practice next year, I'm going out there.
This comes from Starcade Media. The SEC is going to announce 4 years of football opponents on Tuesday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. Central on the SEC Network. The show will provide the matchups and sites of SEC football games for the next 4 years, including each school's three annual opponents.
That's pretty sick.
Might as well, you got the network.
Yeah, exactly.
I ain't watching, but I mean, it's cool for the SEC to do something like that. Yeah,
that's good for traveling purposes.
Well,
I really want to go see a game at Rocky Top. Well, in 2 years, they're going to play such and such here. Might as well go watch it.
Yeah.
I don't hate that idea.
No, that's good. You got the network. You might as well do it. It won't be like the NFL schedule release.
That's a hidden gem.
Yeah,
it's one of the top three most. What did Bingley call the draft?
Please don't.
Okay.
No, I thought you were going to talk about the schedule release. You know, he was the first person to ever do a schedule release. Have you heard that story?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell it to me?
You know, he used to do a show where we would do it every night on Sunday after they did the release of the schedule. And now everybody wants to do it because they piggybacked off me. Kind of like how I told everybody Mahomes was going to be a quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, Mac. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
That guy's an idiot, man.
Get bent. You know Bigley, what he's doing Tuesday night, right?
This Tuesday?
Yeah. Watching that show.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, dude.
There's no question. He is dialed into the schedule release show for the 2032 schedule.
Character Concerns Podcast. Did you watch this SEC thing, Christian Acero? No, I was too busy watching Josh Simmons, the pick you hate, out of Ohio State.
I mean, Binkley's dialed in on Tuesday night. He's 1,000,000% dialed into that show on Tuesday night. He's taking notes. It's Mizzou game coming up in 2030. They get take on Carolina. How do you think that Mizzou Carolina game is going to look in 4 years, Jay?
Yeah, pretty bleak. Are they going to play the Raging Cajuns again?
I hope so. I hope so. We were talking about numbers earlier about, you know, what it means to be 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN Bet has the numbers since the year 2000. Mac, do you know the year 2000?
It's like that Jonas Brothers song. I went to the year. Oh, wait, that's 3000.
Yeah, so reverse it. Do you know the Jonas Brothers?
No, I know the Jonas Brothers. Yes. Do you know the year 2000? You know what that's from?
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, I know.
You don't? From what was the guy's name? The redheaded talk show host that's on TNT.
Oh, Conan?
Conan. Yeah, Conan used to do the bit. In the year 2000. See, this happened before the year 2000.
Okay, gotcha.
So since then, since the year 2000, 117. Teams have started 0-3. One team has made the playoffs.
Mm. Who was it?
The 2018 Texans.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. The 2018 Texans are the only 0-3 team to make the playoffs. Do you know who they fell to 0-3 against?
In 2018?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way you said it means they must have been bad teams.
No, I mean who their third loss was, that's all.
Was it the Giants?
Giants.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Tennessee, they lost the week prior, and then New England, they lost to start the season in 2018. So,
and that would have been the year the Chiefs beat them in the playoffs? Or no, am I 1 year off?
2018 season would have been the 2019. So you're a year behind.
You're a year ahead or a year behind? You're early. Yeah, whatever. It was
2019. Yeah. That would be a year early.
I think Yeah.
You'd be a year early on that one. Didn't play the Chiefs in the regular season. But they started 0-3, and they would only go on to lose two more games the rest of the way. Now, if you could start 0-3 and guarantee you're only going to lose two more games the rest of the way, then it's not that big a deal, obviously. But 0-3, you know what starts to happen at that point in time. Then you start to get the backstabbing. Everybody's talking about everybody else. Defense is blaming the offense. Offense is blaming the defense. You got all sorts of drama going on inside the locker room. You don't need that. You got to take care of business. And so the odds will say, you know, pretty bleak making the postseason if you fall to 0-3. Not impossible. And again, that doesn't determine anything about what the Chiefs are going to do. But people always like to say, what are the odds of them making the playoffs if they go 0-3? 1 in 117. 1 in 117 is what they have to get into the playoffs if they lose on Sunday.
They're not losing this game.
No, they're not.
Nope.
I 100% guarantee.
I mean, after talking to Matt, you got to feel pretty fired up about that. And for me, it was what he said about the resolve in the building. That really got me. Like, these guys seemingly, from his mouth to our ears, are dialed in this week.
Yeah, we can think it's a guaranteed win. That's fine for us to say. We know this team, but it's the team inside. They can't be thinking that way. They need to show up like this is their Super Bowl. Like, legitimately. This is it. Come on. Yeah. This is your season.
Hopefully it wasn't like the Eagles Super Bowl.
Nope. Well, maybe the first one.
The first one, yeah. Or the San Francisco one.
I know you were probably asleep, but did you hear the shade that Al Michaels threw at the Eagles last night?
Yes.
That was great, wasn't it?
I don't think I saw this, no.
Oh, yeah. He was talking about the Bills being great.
Yeah, he goes, the Bills are good and entertaining, unlike some who are good but not entertaining.
Yeah.
It's like, it's true. Yeah. Everybody hates the Eagles. Hey, that's fine. Hey.
Everybody hates the Eagles faster than they hated the Chiefs.
The torch has been passed.
I will say.
They're douchebags. I mean, let's just call it what it is.
It's been a major criticism of Kansas City, too. So he could have been throwing shade at both teams. Chiefs have not been fun for 3 years.
The last couple of years, but
yeah,
at least we were fun. The Eagles were never fun.
For sure.
Right? You know, the Chiefs were fun, man. Like, there was a point where the Chiefs were so fun, my mother texts me, she goes, I can't watch any other NFL games. It's not as fun, right? The Chiefs brought a lot of fun to the NFL. The last year or so, it's not been as fun, obviously, from an offensive standpoint. But the Eagles never brought any fun. They just found ways to win games, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that way is ending, man. I can't wait to see how many penalties are called in this game. Even Bovada's tweeting about it. Like, the refs have been tasked to end the tush push. The owners didn't end the tush push, so now they're telling the referees, you guys are the ones that are going to end this thing for everybody because you're going to call flags on every play. That tush push may be dead by the time halftime comes of their game on Sunday.
We'll find out. Still no receiving yard props for the Chiefs on DraftKings. I was going to see what they had for Xavier Worthy. They'll wait till the injury report comes out today because, as we all know from past experiences, you practice today, you play on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You don't practice today, read the room. Like, if Jalen Royals doesn't practice today, they hold him out. Probably not ready for Sunday, which he could still probably be one of the anomalies where he's a late scratch on Sunday where it's like, yeah, you practiced all week, but it was a buildup for the Ravens game. But either way, having both of them back could change a lot of things in this offense. But Like we've said all morning, you have to run the ball.
But again, I don't know what Jalen Royals can do. We've never seen him.
That's fair.
There,
yeah, the fear of unknown, but also the excitement of the unknown.
Yeah, the excitement is there, definitely. There's no question. I'm excited to watch him play, but I'm also not saying, okay, we're good now because Jalen Royals, it's a fourth-round wide receiver that's never played in the NFL.
I feel like I'm going to get crushed on the other side because it's Richard of the Week time, and I have one, but I think I'm going to make some people upset because I'm too petty. We'll get into it.
Richard?
That's right. You get it. 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Josh Simmons, and you're listening to Fesco and Dust.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Red Friday here in Kansas City. Back here on 96.5 The Fan. It is a Friday. It is 9:45-ish, which means we get to our Richard of the Week, which is brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. Proud partner of the Kansas City Royals. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories. And the best part is zero bubbles. Boys, I send my send-off to the Royals tonight. I'm going to have a tear. Taking a step faja out to the game tonight. And going to have a couple Surfsides and say adios. Arrivederci. Adieu to the Royals.
What is the magic number or the tragic number?
Is
it
one?
Is it one now? Okay.
It is one.
Okay. So if they lose tonight or somebody else wins.
Well, they've been eliminated from the AL Central.
Yeah.
So that's over. And I believe the tragic number is one.
Okay.
So they got the Blue Jays, who could be World Series winners.
Yep.
In the K tonight. So always bittersweet for me, man. I love baseball. It's a very, very passionate sport of mine. I love this team in Kansas City for my whole life. And then this is come about 3 months from now. I'll be like, man, I can't wait for spring training to start. But this is the final one for me tonight, so
yeah,
I'm excited for it.
It is the final homestand, so you get an opportunity to go out there. Hey, Sunday's a day game for the Royals. It's a night game for the Chiefs. If you want to get out there one final time and check them out and do that thing, go ahead and do that.
Right.
You know, out at the yard this weekend. But I do want to give a little bit of credit to Seattle for a couple of different things. I was watching their broadcast the last couple of nights just to kind of hear what they wanted to say about the Royals. And they're talking about how Kauffman Stadium has been a house of horrors for them over the last, you know, couple of years and whatnot. And they feel like they've got to go out there and score, you know, 10 runs a game just to beat the Royals because they have struggles here in Kansas City. And so that's good to hear that one of the better teams knows that they got to come in here and play their best when they play against this organization. But also give a little credit. I'm sure not a lot of people saw this yesterday. I didn't really catch it during the game because I was out and about. So I caught it later on in the day. The Seattle Mariners challenged a call that you would never, ever, ever challenge in your entire life. I don't think it was a simple ground ball to Massey. He threw to first. The out was made. The Seattle Mariners challenged that call, and they ended up winning the challenge, and it ended up being the difference in the game. What had happened is, I think most people know this, all your infielders have to have both feet fully planted on the dirt. Michael Massey, when the pitch was delivered, had his heels on the outfield grass. Not by much. It was like literally the Isaiah Likely toe. That's about how much he had on that outfield grass. And a little ground ball, roller, throw to first. They challenged the call, and it ended up being overturned because Michael Massey wasn't positioned properly. Those are the little things that you need to focus on, though, going into the offseason, like the base running and that kind of stuff right there. Those are the little things that you can do that help you win ball games. And I'm sure now there's going to be a memo, or however they do it over there, keep your both feet on the infield dirt. And now the fact that the Mariners challenged that play and won, are we going to have a lot of these other guys looking now at these replays and checking to make sure both feet are on the infield dirt? They should be. That was a brilliant play and a brilliant challenge. Probably the best challenge since replay's been involved in baseball that I've ever seen. The fact that you even knew to challenge that and were looking for that, that's why the Mariners are a playoff team right now.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
That's right. It is Richard of the Week. Once again, it is brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, proud partner of the Kansas City Royals. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories. And the best part is zero bubbles. Send me all the Surfside pictures to the Twitter at Dusty Likens this weekend. Still warm enough, always warm enough to drink those things, and always zero troubles. I'll start this off. I'm going to sound like an ass. I know I am. I understand this. I've talked to Bob about this Monday morning. So here's the deal. When I run out of coffee at the house, I have to stop at Quick Trip. It's right down the street from me. And a lot of times on Monday morning, my gas tank normally lands, it gets me through the week. And then Saturday and Sunday, I don't do a whole lot of driving around. I can walk anywhere I want to go that's appeasing to me. But there's this gas pump at Quick Trip that I tend to use all the time. Normally not a lot of people are at Quick Trip at 4:45 in the morning. More than you would think, though. But I've started to notice this more than just in the morning. So, one, I'm petty because it's my gas pump. Okay?
Yep.
It is my gas pump. No one ever uses it. No one's ever in there. And it's right on the edge, right there. You know the Quick Trip I'm talking about, if you're at least Summit native, it's right there on 350 and 3rd Street, that corner Quick Trip that's getting rebuilt for a new one. And there's this pump right by the exit that you can just slide right in and fill up your gas, go get your velos, go get your coffee, get in the car, and head out. Well, for some reason, the first 3 days of the week this week, there's been a tow truck there.
Oh, it's been more than one day.
3 days in a row.
Oh.
3 days in a row, parks his tow truck at the gas pump. So not only can I not use my pump, I can't use the one behind it. Here's the kicker. He's not fueling his truck. He's just sitting there with the car running. Last I checked, you're supposed to turn your car off when you're getting gas. He's just leaving the car running and just parked there. Could you not just back it up into the parking spot and park it there and be reversed out instead of leaving your car, not using the gas pump, sitting there, not using it, blocking two pumps? And I know the argument is, Dusty, tow trucks do the Lord's work. I am not arguing that. I respect tow truck drivers because you have a tough job. Side of the highway, people going past it, no awareness of anything. But it's like, there's a spot over here. You can just back the truck up and you're out of everybody's way. And I've started to notice this more. People just sit at gas pumps and don't fill their car up and block a pump. That's a Richard move.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Richard move, society. We got to be better.
But see, this is where you're like me, and I'm going to try to talk you down for your mental health on this one. I was actually talking to somebody about this morning. I used to react like that when parents picked up their kids in the handicapped parking spots and weren't handicapped and were just sitting in the handicapped parking spots because they're lazy.
Yeah.
And they were never going to move and whatnot. And I used to get so mad, and I could feel the anger inside of me because these people were so wrong. And then I'm like, you're losers, man. Like, you're the ones that are doing this stuff. Why am I getting so angry and mad at these people who are totally clueless and oblivious and really, at the end of the day, all about them? You know, that's what it is. If you're parking in those handicapped spots or parking where you shouldn't be parking because you feel like it's your car and you need to do that, you're selfish.
And the thing is, somebody says, you know, obviously, Dusty, it's not your pump. Everybody loves the outside. Dusty using a diesel pump is a big issue. No, I'm not. It's unleaded, premium, all of it's there. Diesels and other pumps, too. He's not pumping anything.
Pretty much everyone knows that's Dusty's pump. Call a tow truck to have him tow.
Yeah,
it
is. Come on, man.
I love that.
Mac, awesome. Who do you got?
I've got Joe Buck. I think this happened today. I was looking for Richard of the Week, and I just saw, oh, wow, it just presented itself right in front of me. This was him on Good Morning America talking about the tush push, or as Stefan Anopoulos calls it, the push tush.
Can you make the argument for banning the push-tush?
No.
Push-tush?
No, I can't. I mean, you know, as the league says, and as the Eagles say, stop it. Figure out a way to stop it. And nobody's figured out a way
to do it.
Or figure out a way to do it. And the difference is the Eagles have a quarterback that's running that can squat over 600 pounds. So they took advantage of a guy that's on their team that can do it, and nobody can stop it. So too bad.
Over 600 pounds.
Over 600 pounds.
Don't worry, I won't ask you what you can squat, Joe.
I don't know.
Okay. So it's so funny. Shut up. Ooh. Come on.
So I'm not going to lie. I was Joe Buck last week.
Stop it.
But then I saw that they were cheating. Yeah, and that
exactly.
Changes everything.
Exactly.
That's the red flag out here. Like, I'm with you, bro. I am. I'm with Joe Buck. You don't like it, stop it. Figure it out, right? This isn't one of those.
This isn't that.
This is not that.
This isn't a team being better than the other
team.
Right.
This is a team that's cheating.
Yep. Pretty much.
They're breaking the rules.
And now,
it's
not fair.
But they're not going to get away with it now. They're not going to get away with it now. That's the thing.
Yep, exactly.
You can't keep getting away with this.
So I'm just not against what Joe Buck had to say if it were last week. But once you get new evidence in something, it's okay to change your opinion on things.
It's fine. We don't have to stick Pat for the whole same take for 3 years.
Right.
Oh, that guy's an idiot, man.
Oh, look at they're leaving. Oh, that's why it works. Oh, yeah, I'm not in favor. It's no longer about stopping
it. Exactly.
It's about making it equitable for everybody. My Richard of the Week goes to, I found this on Monday, which I thought was just so fun. The World Stone Skimming Championships. They have now been rocked by a cheating scandal after several competitors were disqualified for tampering. More than 2,200 people from 27 countries attended this year's event on the tiny island of Easdale off the west coast of Scotland. Rules state that stones must come from naturally occurring island slate. However, some were have found to have been grounded into suspiciously circular shapes to help them bounce over the water. So these guys were bringing in their own stones, creating their own stones, and cheating. No matter what sport we're in, cheating is prevalent. And that's kind of the message for everybody, right? People get mad at cheating. It's going on in every sport, on every play, on every single day. Stone skipping championships.
That's crazy.
Outfield grass, putting your heels on that. Uh-huh. This Joe Buck tush push thing is now
considered
cheating.
Remember the fishermen that were putting rocks and
stones
inside the fish?
That's right. The guys that were stuffing the fish full of weights and what?
Wow.
The 460-year-olds that come in at a scramble for a charity event. Like, we shot 42 under. Oh, great. How come all the other three guys left the event? Yes, you stayed.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
The stones on these guys, says the 785.
Oh, you're done for the week. Well, I love it. But seriously, cheating is everywhere. Everywhere. Yep. And it's only going to stop when the people get punished for doing it. And that's why, to kind of wrap the whole week up, I'm expecting a lot of flags on Sunday in the Eagles game. I'm excited to watch that to see if the referees really do enforce what the NFL wants them to enforce. Because now the NFL referees are being tasked with carrying the dirty water for the NFL. They may not do that. I don't know. They may just say, screw you, NFL. You had a chance to ban it. You didn't. Don't leave it up to us to go out here and enforce it now.
But what we can leave up to you is Sunday at 9 o'clock, Mac Morey will be doing the fantasy football show, and he'll tell you that you should hold on to Hampton. Hold on to Genty.
Yes.
Do not trade yet.
Yes.
Do not panic.
Don't
do
panic.
Not panic. That's going to be a topic on Sunday. I can already tell that he's going to tell you, don't trade Genty. Don't trade Omari and Hampton. They'll be just fine. At least he says that.
Ashton Genty wants the ball. I mean, for a rookie in two games, already be bitching. That's great.
Love it. Hey, it's the weekend. You got plenty of time. Do it today. Knock it out early. Go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, have a good Red Friday. Stay safe. Stay calm.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay groovy. Coming up next, it's Cody Gold and Drew from 10 until 2. We'll talk to you Monday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.